Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. As always, sitting next to my colleague Wes Hodkiewicz, we're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, as we are another day closer to Packers-Bears Sunday noon kickoff at Soldier Field, I want to go back to a comment Mike McCarthy made earlier this week in one of his press conferences, talking about how the Packers have obviously, you know, struggled, three-game losing streak here in the wake of Aaron Rodgers' injury. And he said nobody's stepped up. There hasn't been a group on this team that has stepped up to the forefront to take the lead, to really show the leadership to get through this. And based on what we heard in the locker room after practice on Wednesday, it sounds like that message wasn't just delivered at the podium and a press conference. It was also delivered behind closed doors in a team meeting. Did you get that impression?
Yeah,
as well?
I did, Mike. And one thing is, too, I don't want this to be like the old traditional, like stepping in front of a room and screaming at everybody that you need to step up.
Right.
McCarthy was very cerebral about it, just very matter of fact. You know, he just said, you know, nobody stepped up. We lost Aaron Rodgers, nobody stepped up. And I, you know, listening to guys in the locker room, Randall Cobb, Haha Clinton Dix, Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams, the list goes on and on of guys who really understand, okay, it isn't so much about me, but more the position and being able to get production from different areas. And I liken it to 2013. I think a lot of people forget that the Packers lost those first three games, including that Bears game after Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone.
Right.
Things were not trending in the right direction either in the first half against the Vikings as well. Matt Flynn ends up leading them back in a 26-26 tie. Even the week after that, it was tough. But eventually they did find their footing, and they won enough ball games to keep themselves in the playoff hunt. Jared Boykin became a player at that time. Micah Hyde became a really big part of that defense during that time as a rookie.
Absolutely.
We all know what Eddie Lacy did. The Packers need the same thing now. They need veterans like Randall Cobb, as he said, to break more tackles, to make more plays. They need Haha Clinton Dix to get those interceptions and big turnover, you know, momentum swinging, changing, game changing type plays that he was making last year. They need Aaron Jones and Ty Montgomery to bust some plays out of the backfield. That's where this all comes from. And once you start getting that energy, once that avalanche starts to build, that's where a team really can hit its rhythm, find its flow, and start to really carve out a path forward without Aaron Rodgers at quarterback.
Yeah, and I think what we need to keep in mind here as well, and I think what this current Packers locker room is realizing, and why, as valuable as it is for perspective for us to talk about 2013, they're not talking about 2013 in the locker room, because when you look at how that unfolded, you mentioned the three straight losses, then you had a tie, then you had another loss to Detroit right on Thanksgiving. Yes, the Packers won a couple games to stay in the playoff hunt, but they also stayed in the playoff hunt that year because their other foes in the division started to fall off and kind of let things slip right away when they had it in their grasp. The Detroit Lions look like they could be turning the corner with that win over the Packers and with how Matthew Stafford looked. They're at 4-4. Their schedule is somewhat favorable the second half. The Minnesota Vikings have a much tougher schedule, but yet they're 6-2. They're getting a little bit of a boost now with Teddy Bridgewater being back on the active roster to back up Case Keenum. Maybe they make a switch there if they feel like they will get some more dynamic play at quarterback to go with that defense. The time is now for the Packers. This is a division game against the Chicago Bears. Yes, it's on the road, but I don't think you can count on being in the playoff hunt with a 500 record with a couple of weeks to go the way it happened in 2013, and I think this team realizes that.
Yeah, totally, and I think this team also realizes that you also have a team like the Chicago Bears that are proving that they're not pushovers either.
Yeah.
The common sentiment immediately after the game, and then I think was echoed on Wednesday, is that you can't drop three games in the division and expect to win your division. That's just, the math doesn't work out that way. You have to win those games. You and I have been talking about that since the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons why there is so much emphasis on this game. Yeah, you want to beat the Ravens. Yeah, you want to beat the Steelers. Heck, when Tampa Bay Buccaneers come in here, you want to beat them too. But you only get so many cracks at the division here, and those games weigh so heavily when there's really only a game or two separating you within that division. That's why I think there is a lot of emphasis on this game. I still stop short of calling anything a must-win at this situation.
Yeah.
Just because last year they were 4-6 with Aaron Rodgers as quarterback at this point of the season. But at the same time, every win now is something that you can use to build towards, you know, trying to find that turnaround.
Yeah, mathematically, when you're 4-4, it's not a must-win necessarily. But as I said in our Insider Inbox column, realistically, this is a must win, because you have to remember in 2013, the Packers ended up going into the final game against the Chicago Bears with a 7-7-1 record and a chance to win and win the division. I don't see going into, you know, week 17 at either 8-7 or 7-8 if you don't have a tie that goofs up the record. I don't think you can be in that position and be looking to try to win this division at 9-7. It doesn't look like that to me, the way it's shaping up. So you can't let any more opportunities slip away.
Yeah, because then at that point, as we hear before, you're asking other people to help you.
Yeah.
It's about controlling your own destiny versus, you know, kind of relying on what other teams are doing. You want to take care of what's in your own house. And, you know, for the Packers, it starts against the Bears.
Yeah, it definitely does. With that, we're going to toss it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkiewicz in that one. And Wes, I know we talked on yesterday's show a lot about the Chicago Bears and their running game and how committed they are to the running game, primarily with Jordan Howard, also with Tarik Cohen as a complimentary speedy back to sort of the bigger bruising Howard. Talking to a couple of the Packers defensive linemen in the locker room on Wednesday, namely Kenny Clark and Dean Lowry, they know exactly what they are in for come Sunday afternoon at Soldier Field, and that is the need to play run defense for four quarters. This is not one of those games where, you know, the old adage of, okay, slow down the run, you know, make them one-dimensional, you know they're going to throw the ball. You can slow down the run early against the Bears in the first quarter, right, in the second quarter, even coming out of halftime. They are not going to give up on the run. That's what this team is. They are a run-first mentality. It's how they're trying to bring along a young quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky. The Packers know exactly what they're in for.
Yeah, they are, and it's going to be one of these games, too, that obviously you want to respect Trubisky. You never know. As I said, they've been prone here this year to doing a couple shots downfield, but at the same time, Jordan Howard's the emphasis. Tarik Cohen, where he's at, is going to be the emphasis for this team. One of the things I found that's very interesting for the Packers, because you've heard me say on the show before, I think as recently as even yesterday, I think the Packers are a lot better than the 23rd ranking that they get. One of the coincidental things about them, though, is they're tied for the league lead right now with 20 or more runs allowed. But they haven't given up a 40-yard run. And they're one of, I think, maybe six or seven teams that haven't done that. Which is interesting, because some of these years you see like the DeMarco Murray play where it's a 75-yard run and it just changes the outlook of a game. So it's like they've been able to manage how many like really truly explosive plays they've had, but yet they've just also had too many of those leak into that second level, and it really falls in that same category, Mike, as the, you know, the personal foul penalties or just those really backbreaking type plays that can completely alter a drive. So if you can really shore up those holes, you know, whether that's at the second level or directly on the line, that's the path forward. The Packers have shown they can get TFLs. They've shown that they can stop rushing attacks. This is a really tough test that they have, but I think the biggest thing for them is coming out, setting a tone, stopping Howard, making sure they don't get any easy yardage, and then not letting up. Because
yeah,
they really, that's what the Bears are thriving on right now, is being able to start wearing down a defense and then start finding those holes in the second half.
That's what I was going to say, is I think the Bears count on this running game, this offensive line of theirs, wearing teams down because they stay so committed to the run. When I took a look at the Packers' run defense statistics as well, you mentioned the 23rd ranking against the run. It's three games that have really pushed the Packers down in the rankings, and it was the Falcons game, the Cowboys game, and the Saints game. Those were the three big rushing games the Packers allowed. And when you look at all of those, there was a significant amount of rushing yardage by the opponent in the second half. And that's really kind of the red flag, in a sense, here for the Packers going into this, because as good as they've been for the most part against the run early in ball games, this is a game where you've got to play run defense for four quarters, because the Bears are not going to give up on the run. They're going to look at, okay, what were the Saints doing with the running game in the fourth quarter against Green Bay? What were the Cowboys doing,
right,
with their running game late against Green Bay, when guys like Mark Ingram and Ezekiel Elliott were racking up some yards late in games? Because that's how the Bears are going to plan to win this game. They're going to plan to pound with the run, stay in the game with their defense, and then be able to try to break some of those longer runs in the fourth quarter to turn the tide.
Yeah, Mike, and it's an interesting thing to think about, because first and foremost, this defense is better when Morgan Burnett's on the field. I don't want to like take anything away from that. But this is one of the games where if you're not going to have Burnett, it's probably the best opponent you're going to be able to face here, in that you can run more traditional nickel with Blake Martinez, Jake Ryan, and then potentially getting back Joe Thomas, who returned on Wednesday to practice after a little bit more than a month off with an ankle injury.
Yeah.
You have the base defense. You have the different variations you can work there. Certainly, Burnett would have been on the back end still. He would still be in this lineup, but you maybe don't have to rely on that nitro as much as they've had before. So that is one positive for him in this matchup.
Here's another thought I'll throw at you. We saw the debut of Vince Beagle Monday night against the Detroit Lions. Looked like he made a couple of nice plays against the run, particularly down on the goal line. You mentioned, obviously, Burnett's not going to be in this game. Maybe the Packers use some different packages. If Vince Beagle maybe is used as another option on the edge against the run where they're using him, do we start seeing Clay Matthews even against the run possibly taking on another role? I don't want to say going all the way back to 2014, but this is the kind of game. I mean, Clay Matthews, wherever you line him up, is one of the best run defenders on this defense.
Right.
And I see the Packers trying to put Clay Matthews in a position to have that kind of impact on Sunday.
Yeah, he's terrific in that way. He's a disruptor. And then historically, too, I think Nick Perry's been really solid in that regard in terms of holding edges and being able to, you know, keep your gap integrity. But I see what you see with Beagle. I think he definitely can be a guy that factors into this as well. For having 20 plays, whatever it was, in his first NFL start or first NFL game action, I didn't anticipate him playing that much, but I think he's definitely earned those reps. There's different variants the Packers are working with that base package. We've seen that pseudo quad 4-3 package again where Matthews is off the line.
Yep.
They've had some success with that with some TFLs. So a lot of different options for Dom Capers for how they want to attack this offense and Jordan Howard and obviously what the Bears are going to be trying to do.
Yeah, and it's funny. I didn't realize until I looked a little bit closer at the statistics, but Jordan Howard is on pace again for a 1,300-yard rushing season. Obviously, the whole pace thing is easy to do right now because it's at 8 games, so you just double the numbers. He's got 662 yards, though, and this is a guy who had 1,300 yards as a rookie last year. Very quietly was the number two rushing leader in the league behind Ezekiel Elliott for the Cowboys, and he's on pace for another 1,300 yard season. I mean, and I think, as you pointed out to me, even maybe more eye popping statistically is that he's on pace for like 325 carries.
Yeah.
I mean, they are feeding this guy and feeding him a lot.
Yeah, and I don't know. I know the Bills ran the ball a ton last year with Shady McCoy and what, you know, Rex Ryan was trying to do. I have to imagine, though, with also factoring in Cohen to that, the Bears could be on pace for a record-type year for how much they're running the ball right now between, because it's not like it's just, okay, it's Howard, he's going to carry the ball 330 times. Cohen's going to end up with about 125, 150 carries, too. So it's very interesting what they're doing down there in Chicago.
Harkening back to the Walter Payton, Matt Sui years down there on Lakeshore Drive. But with that, we've got to get to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz over there. And Wes, also on Wednesday, we heard from former Packers guard Josh Sitton, now obviously playing for the Chicago Bears. He was on a conference call with Green Bay media. And as usual with the media, Sitton was rather entertaining, also rather colorful with his language, which is sort of his MO, but that's okay. The interesting part I thought was I asked him a question about what he liked the most about Mitch Trubisky, this rookie quarterback the Bears have brought in. You know, as a veteran guy, obviously Josh Sitton's been around good quarterback play. What do you like the most about this guy? And his answer was really interesting because he said what he likes the most, it's not so much about the physical tools. Yes, he's athletic. He can run. He can make plays on the move, all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to commanding the huddle, he said there was an instance where the offensive lineman tried to break the huddle a little too early, and Trubisky snapped at them all. And again, I won't use Sitton's colorful language, but Trubisky basically said, "Hey, get your butts back in a huddle,
right?
And you don't break the huddle until I say so." Now that takes some guts for a rookie to do, especially with the number of veterans that that the Bears have on the offensive line. But Sitton said he really respected that out of the young kid, that he had the guts to stand up to him and say, "Hey, I'm the quarterback. This is my huddle. I'm the one who runs it." And this young quarterback, for all the as slowly as the Bears are bringing him along schematically in their offense, this is a guy who's earning some respect.
Yeah, he certainly is. And I mean, gotta remember, I mean, yeah, it's one thing for a rookie to be doing that. You know, it takes some fortitude to be able to speak up to the guys that like that. But at the same time, any starting quarterback for the first time, it doesn't matter if they're, you know, Trubisky jumping in there, whatever it was, 4 or 5 games into his NFL career, or it was a guy like Rodgers, 3 years, you know, after understudying under Brett Favre, you have to assert yourself. That's where this all starts. And yeah, you're right. They've been very basic in how they've been able to, you know, integrate Trubisky into this offense. But I think you see the physical tools. You see the command of the huddle and how he can move the ball downfield. As time wears on, I think you're going to see them obviously open that playbook up more for him. But in terms of just that respect factor, when you're talking to a guy like Josh Sitton, who's been to multiple Pro Bowls, has been an all-pro type guard before, 10 years in the NFL, that's the kind of leadership you need. And that's kind of what I think the Bears were looking for when they obviously made the moves that they did last spring to bring him in as their quarterback of the future.
Yeah, they made a big investment, obviously, in Trubisky. They had the number 3 overall pick in the draft. They gave up some other picks just to move up to number 2 to make sure that they would get Trubisky. GM Ryan Pace definitely staking a lot on the selection of the quarterback here. But I liked what I heard from Sitton, just in terms of how this young quarterback is coming along, because, you know, players who have been in the league, they know if they look in somebody's eyes in the huddle and they see any sort of fear, trepidation, uncertainty, the entire unit is not going to be confident in what's right. Going on out there. And Mitch Trubisky, even though there was a game, I think it was the Carolina game, he only threw 7 passes or whatever it was. He's had a couple of games where he's had barely over 100 yards passing because they just haven't asked him to do a whole heck of a lot. He still knows that the future of the team, the future of the offense rides on his shoulders, and he has to be that leader. And it's going to be interesting, obviously, as the Packers are going to play the Bears twice a year, and we're probably going to see Mitch Trubisky quite a bit here
right. Over
the years. This first Packers-Bears game with Trubisky at the helm, I think, will be fun to watch.
Yeah, and let's be real too, Mike. If you were going to do this approach that the Bears are taking, this was the year to do it. There's no Elshon Jeffrey. They've lost now Zach Miller. You know, Kevin White gets injured again. It's not like they have like a superstar receiver that it's like you got to feed the ball to. They just kind of need to make it all work and fit. I don't think you've really heard too much about, well, why aren't they passing the ball more? Maybe that's a narrative out there. But as far as the football team is concerned, they're buying into what Fox is selling right now. And they know the best way for them to win ball games is to feed the run and develop their quarterback. It is interesting because very few times are you going to find situations like this where you can dedicate yourself that much to it and have the 32nd ranked passing offense and nobody's going to gripe about it. It's very unique.
Yeah, and as much as we've been talking about the Bears' commitment to the run, I do think we may see – they got a receiver from the Chargers, was it?
Right.
Dontrell Inman, I believe,
correct.
Was his name. He could be you know, a guy who works into this here and then becomes a guy for Trubisky going forward.
Totally.
But with that, we're going to toss it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford next to Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, quickly before we go, the biggest news that came out of 1265 Lombardi on Wednesday was regarding tight end Martellus Bennett. Early in the day, Mike McCarthy announced that he would not be available for Chicago due to his shoulder injury. Then later in the day, the Packers actually released him. So he is he's off the roster. There's been a designation with regards to the medical situation, which we have to see how that unfolds. We don't really know necessarily the details with that. But the bottom line for the 2017 Packers is that Martellus Bennett's season is over, and the tight end position now is turned over full-time to Lance Kendricks and Richard Rodgers.
Right.
And these guys, you know, as much as we talk about getting the ball to Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams and Jordy Nelson, I think Brett Hundley's going to need these tight tight ends to chip in the passing game as well, and it starts on Sunday in Chicago.
Yeah, without question, Mike. I mean, this was sort of the reason why the Packers brought in Lance Kendricks, too, is because they were going to dedicate themselves to this tight end, you know, going to tight ends, having multiple packages where you can use them in a variety of ways. And if one of them went down, they needed to have, you know, additional guys there. It just so happened, I mean, Bennett played a lot, you know, over 80% of the offensive snaps, but it's very, you know, important to remember that, I mean, Lance Kendricks has started a majority of the games he's played in the NFL. Richard Rodgers has started a majority of the games he's played in the NFL. So those guys, this isn't new territory for them. And I'm sure, you know, we haven't had a chance to speak with them yet as of the time of this taping, but I'm sure both of them are excited about this opportunity. Kendricks was a bell cow type player for the Rams for a number of years, even when Jared Cook was there as well. So they're going to be leaning on them. They're going to be relying on those guys, and they're going to need them to step up, particularly when it comes to the run, because for everything that happened this year with Bennett, he really did add a lot as an inline blocker to that run game.
Yeah, he was the best blocker of the bunch, and Mike McCarthy has even said, you know, the best blocking tight end that the Packers have had here in a while. That being said, when I looked at the game film from the Monday night loss to the Lions, I did see some plays where it looked like Kendricks had some opportunities down the seam, looked like maybe he was open. Don't know where he was in the progression necessarily, right, in terms of when Brett Hundley should have looked that way, or if that was just not in the cards. But there were definitely some opportunities on film there for Kendricks in running some routes, and I'll be curious to see if we see a little bit more of that against the Bears.
Yeah, and Kendricks made a whale of a catch down the stretch there too on that 21-yarder in the middle of the field, contested, obviously a lot of traffic there. I honestly think he could be that Jared Cook presence to kind of give them a boost now in the second half of the season. He has the experience. He has the – obviously, he's popular in the locker room. Teammates respect him. He's from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is set up for him now to have that success moving forward.
Yeah, well, we'll have to keep an eye on that, because I think the Packers are going to need both of those tight ends. But with that, we're going to call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, you can find him at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.